1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app. The talk of Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. The House plans to vote today on the $14.3 billion aid package for Israel. It's not clear if it'll pass. Speaker Mike Johnson told Senate Republicans he wants to uncouple Israel aid from aid for Ukraine. Louisiana Republican Bill Cassidy said Johnson explained why the funding needed to be separated.
There was no pushback. He was just explaining his perspective. And he says that's what he needs to do to get both through.
President Biden says he thinks a pause in hostilities in Gaza is needed as the first group of civilians, foreign nationals and injured Palestinians, has been allowed to leave. Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump have arrived at a New York City courtroom for more testimony in the civil suit against their family business. The day before the Labor Department releases its October jobs report, another sign of a jobs slowdown. The number of first-time jobless claims increased by 5,000 last week. Texas is celebrating after the Rangers beat the Diamondbacks for their first World Series title in team history. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Mental health care might become more accessible in rural Wisconsin. A bipartisan bill to set up regional mental health crisis centers around Wisconsin got two hearings yesterday. Supporters say it would reduce the amount of time a person in crisis spends with police and help them get to care faster. Republican Senator Howard Markline says the current process involves long drives in squad cars. Governor Evers says he's leaning on Senate Democrats to get an American Family Field Maintenance Bill passed. Democrats have said they don't like that the bill spends almost $500 million in public money, but asks for much less from the Milwaukee Brewers. The governor says he's persuaded some Democrats to vote for the bill. He says any more significant changes might kill Democratic support. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. A town hall meeting that focuses on marijuana takes place today in Oshkosh. State Senator and Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard is holding the meeting as part of her grassroots tour. The senator will discuss legalizing cannabis in Wisconsin. The meeting takes place today at the Oshkosh Public Library at 106 Washington Avenue in Room AB. The discussion will be from 4:30 to 5:30. The press and public are welcome, and there will be a Q&A afterwards. One person is dead after a two-car crash on Highway 21 near Oshkosh. The incident happened Wednesday morning just before 8 a.m. in the town of Omro. First responders attended to one of the drivers, but the person died before they could be taken to the hospital. The other driver was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The Winnebago County Sheriff's Office is not releasing any information regarding the victims at this time. The crash is being investigated. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Raptors dominate the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee took on the Raptors last night in Toronto and ran into a buzzsaw. The final 130 to 111 in favor of Toronto. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin was an assistant coach for the Raptors. Before that, a longtime NBA player. Bucks point guard Damian Lillard says players appreciate that.
I think anytime you have a former player as a coach, you automatically are one with them. You know, they understand our day-to-day. They understand our lives. They understand, you know, what goes into this game.
The Bucks are now 2-2. They host the Knicks tomorrow night. NFL fallout from the Packers' decision to trade starting defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills in exchange for a third-round draft pick. I asked Matt LaFleur if Douglas had stepped out of line as a vocal leader in the locker room.
Now I want to shut that down right away. It has nothing to do. I think he's been a positive impact in that locker room. So absolutely not.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 43. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 35. Tonight, overcast. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers, 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 30.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. UK. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
As so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. We have Calvin on the board, my friend and colleague Carol Kane, and Greg Bach live with me in studio today. How are we all doing?
Fine.
Good.
Peachy.
Yeah, Carol hasn't hurt herself in a new way since the last time you were on.
No, I had a pretty calm week to kind of power down a little bit. I did do a lot of watching TV just because I felt that I really needed to rest over anything.
Yes.
But I was admonished by my brother. He goes, "What the hell are you doing on a ladder? What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "I know. I heard that."
Yeah, I think someone else might have mentioned that to you.
Okay. But anyhow, we're good. We got through the snow. Everything's fine.
The dogs loved it.
Well, one did.
One did.
One did.
All right. That's good. Greg Bach, how about you?
I'm doing peachy keen.
Oh, peachy keen.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Is that sincere?
I'm just tired. But other than that, living life.
Living life as one does. Well, We got a busy, busy show today. Coming up at 10:33, John Dietrich is a reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel who just did a really big feature piece on the rising number of gun deaths in Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah, they're on the
rise. Mm-hmm. And the connection to suicide. Mm. And there's some really disturbing numbers. And it's not just happening in urban areas. This is all over the state. So John is going to join us coming up at 10:33 to talk about what he discovered in researching for this article. Coming up at 11:06, it's going to be every Thursday, Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us for public service announcement.
Okay.
And one of the things we're going to talk about is people who have ringing in their ears. And that is not an uncommon problem.
Hello. That's
you,
me.
You have it.
I do. Yeah. It's terrible. It's like my own private concert all the time.
That's got to be all maddening.
You kind of learn to live with it. But you know what? My dad had it.
Oh,
I'm going to ask her if this can be like a familial, like
a hereditary.
Hereditary. There you go.
Sure.
Because my brother has it, my dad has it.
Wow.
Had it, and I just attributed it to the fact that I've been wearing headphones for so long.
Right.
I don't think that that's helped the situation at all. But I can't wait to talk to her about this.
Yep. So that's coming up at the 11 o'clock hour, and then sports reporter Paul Noonan will be joining us. All kinds of things going on in sports. As a matter of fact, I was at the bank yesterday talking to the teller, Andy. Very nice man. And he brought up this trade that they just did.
Yeah.
Rasul, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of chatter about fans are not happy about this.
Players are unhappy about
it. Seriously, I don't know what to make of this team right now. They just can't seem to do anything right. And that's what I want to ask him about. You know, Jordan Love, completions are one thing, but these receivers cannot catch a ball. And when he finally fires it off, now from what I understand, he kind of sits in the pocket a little bit more than he should
right.
before he releases the darn thing. But he's basically handing them. When he fires it off, it's getting to where it needs to go, but they just can't hang on to it.
Hands problems.
That's one
way to put it, right? That's one
but
way
I
to
mean,
put it.
You know, it's maddening. And I'm a huge Packer. Aren't you a big Packer fan?
I'm tall. I'm not a football fan. Sorry.
Oh, God,
he's a big
no.
baseball fan.
Big baseball
he's
fan.
A big baseball fan.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge football fan.
Well, we're going to kick that around with Paul Noonan. That is coming your way at 11:33. But to start with, Carol, this is something that you found that is out of Glendale.
It's a very fascinating story, and it's fascinating and yet disturbing.
Right.
Because it has to do with students at Nicolay High School, and a 17-year-old student has been arrested and faces child pornography charges. Now, I know when you think, you always think of some basement and some guy sitting in his basement and bringing up the images.
Right.
But apparently what happened is it says the school resource officer a couple weeks ago said that a video showing two other students
at Nicolay
engaging in sexual acts, and this kid shared them
online.
Yes, social media. Who knows what his intention was? Maybe just, oh my God, look at this, you know, kind of a thing. But the problem is that it's in the distribution situation.
Right.
So it's what every parent who has children now should use this as a teachable moment and just say, no, listen, if you get something like this, the last thing in the world you want to do is share it, because now you're in the fray. You can be
charged.
Right. And it's a very one. I don't understand filming.
I don't either. I really don't.
I mean, don't look at me. I don't either. It's like there was a time when if you did something like that, it ruined you for the rest of your life. Nowadays, it does. I mean, like
that made Kim Kardashian's career.
Paris Hilton.
Well,
and people,
true.
But also, people just send it off. With no, like, I don't know, like, did you send it off and someone has a picture of you and they can
do whatever they want
do
with
whatever
that image.
Whatever they want. Yeah.
Well, yes. It never comes back.
No.
You never get it back. Well, it's out there forever.
I mean, look at the number of, you know, women who have sent their then boyfriend topless photos or whatever, and then they break up, and this does not tend to work out well.
Well, think about Anthony Weiner. He was married, a sitting congressman, and sending pictures out like that, as if you think the internet wouldn't find out.
Exactly. And that's the bigger discussion, too, with your kids.
Right.
The internet is forever.
Yeah.
It's forever. It's,
right. So it's a huge thing. Glendale police are investigating the alleged child pornography being circulated among students at Nicolay High School. The thing is that it was posted on Instagram,
right.
Apparently. You need to sit down with your kids and go, okay, this is a really bad idea. And if something comes through on your feed, you come to me, mom, dad, school administrator, whatever, and this needs to be addressed. You hate to see a 17-year-old who did something stupid be convicted of a felony.
And then he would be registered as a sex offender for like 15 years over this.
Yeah.
Right, right. And you also you got to take into consideration the participants, if you will. Now, am I shocked that high school kids are having sex? No. But that's another bigger discussion. You got to sit down with your kids and start talking to them about sex. I did the sex talk with my son and my daughter. Was it a fun experience? No. No.
I think you would be the perfect person to sit down with kids and explain just, sex.
All right, kids.
This is the way it is.
Don't just shut up and listen.
I thought my son was going to turn inside out
because he was so embarrassed.
You know, he was just mortified that I was using some of the term, because I, like Craig said, I'm pretty forward, and I'm calling it what it is. I'm not, you know, using any euphemisms or things.
Why are we so embarrassed by identifying body parts by their actual names? It's ridiculous.
Because we were brought up in a country that is just ingrained with shame, puritanical ideas. Sex is bad. Sex is gross. It's only for marriage. It's only for children. Those things over hundreds of years, even though we're a cool, progressive society, blah, no, we still, when it comes to sex, we shrink within and we can't talk about it because we were taught not to talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, we had the, and you're right, Greg, I didn't get the talk from my parents.
I got it from Sister Mary James in fourth grade with a bunch of other kids in Catholic school.
But Alex had the class that he had to take in fourth grade. We had to write it off. You know, it was a permission slip.
Right.
And I will never forget, he got off the bus and he had this folder. And he walked in the house and he threw the folder on the counter. And he just looked at me and he goes, I don't want to talk about it. And I said, well, that's too bad because we're going to. But it was easier with Liz just because she's kind of an old soul and she's wise beyond her years to begin with.
Okay.
This is Alex's first time around. But it was, this is where you have to sit down and you also have to not only think about what you're doing in sharing this information, but what are you doing to these people who are participating who got videotaped?
Right.
You have to take their... It's life-altering. It can be life-altering for them. You know,
The embarrassments, right?
Well, when you take such a...
Personal?
Having sex with somebody is the most personal thing you can possibly do. And if you're asking me, that's just me. I think it's the most personal thing you can possibly do, and it's supposed to be done out of... You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be love. Do we all have lust? Of course we do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Sometimes you just want to get it on.
There you go. But use this as a way to teach what to do and what not to do.
Well, and I've always said, going back to the sending, you know, naked pictures to your boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever, if you want to do that, take an actual photo and then get a safe deposit box and you can visit it on your birthday.
Yeah.
Because... No. Sending it digitally.
I don't know. That just sounds weirder than sending it by phone, Jane.
I don't care. I don't care.
You know, but you're right in the fact that
that's the only way to protect that image.
You and I are the same age, basically. Greg's a newbie and he's a little younger. But back in the day, remember you used to be able to go to the mall and get a boudoir shot.
Oh, yes.
That was Merle Normans.
There were others that were much more...
Racy.
Provocative.
Tawtry. Right.
Yeah. Like the feather boa.
Yes.
The, you know, I mean.
Yes.
But they're still doing that to this day. It's just like independent photographers. I know a lot of people who've gotten boudoir photos. They come to your home or you go to their studio. It's still a thing.
It is still a thing.
And some people have upped the ante on it too. So like my friend showed, she's like, you want to see them? I'm like, I don't think I have a choice because she already had them coming out of the folder. I'm like, cool.
844-967-2789. 844-967-2789 if you want to join the conversation. We will be right back coming up next. We're going to keep this conversation going. Let's talk boudoir photos.
Ooh.
This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924. 227-0924.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Madner in for Kristen Bry. Galvin on the board, Carol Kane and Greg Bach with me in the studio, and you as well at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Talking about this story out of Glendale Nicolet High School. Glendale police investigating alleged child pornography being circulated among students at the high school. A video depicting two other students engaging in sexual acts was posted online via Instagram. And now there's a 17-year-old who's in trouble.
Well, and in addition to talking to your kids about sex, this is also a very teachable moment as to social media.
Yes.
As to what to do with social media, because I really seriously think that this is not an uncommon situation.
Oh, I'm sure it's not.
I'm sure that there's way more than we know what's going on. And, okay, I'm going to sound like a horrible mother. I really am. But I didn't get my kids' phones until they were going to college.
Oh, wow.
Why does it make you horrible?
Because Carol Kane didn't let her children have cell phones. How did they survive?
They survived just fine. Because then if I needed to get a hold of them, I called the office and said, go pull them from class. I need to talk to them. But I just feel like sometimes you need to... See, I'm kind of tough.
I totally agree with you. You get a phone for your kids when you want to, not when society tells you to.
Right. And I just think that sometimes... Here's an idea. I did this all the time. I checked their history on their computers.
See, I was going to ask you.
I checked their history on their computers, and when they finally did get phones when they were leaving, I had a big discussion with them as to what this, you know, I know you're going off to college. You're not an idiot, but I just think that the social media is so intoxicating for so many people and so many kids that they can't stop.
See, I think if I were a parent, I would demand to have all their passwords for Instagram and TikTok and all of that stuff. Because again, you like to assume your child is not a moron, but if all the other kids are doing it, you know, all the other girls are doing it. All the other boys are doing it. This is the cool thing. You need to address this stuff.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's too important not to. And I just think that I could be wrong, but I think that the whole idea of having sex and doing something like this and filming it is just more cavalier than it was when we were growing up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
I don't think it's a big deal.
Because it's far more common to see it on the internet, and without getting into a wider discussion about the availability of erotic materials, you know, and we also brought up Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton
made their careers out of it,
but they also came back from it. I remember when
Vanessa Williams, she was in
Penthouse.
She was Miss America.
Yep. And then
those photos came out and it destroyed her for decades.
Yeah. And that's the thing is back then it would destroy you and you might come back. Maybe.
But Rob Lowe, she did. She
Rob
did.
Lowe is an example of how he kind of came back, yeah. But he paid for it for a long time.
That was also that was also underage too. So that was a little bit like that was just not just the tape, but it was also the entire circumstance. The fact that he came back is mind blowing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, and if this kid gets convicted, and I really don't think that it was, I don't think it was out of spite or anything that he probably, I just think he just thought it was funny and was trying to share it or wanted to, you know, hey dude, look at this. But he will be convicted. If he is convicted in juvenile court, he will be a convicted sex offender and could face 15 years.
Yeah. These are serious charges. That's why it's so important that you talk to your kids about this mm-hmm. stuff. You don't want your 16-year-old who's doing it for a chuckle ending up in this kind of trouble.
You can't be an ostrich in this situation.
No, you really just can't. Yeah.
I don't care how difficult the subject matter is. It needs to be addressed, period.
We have a great text from the 608. My mom taught my brothers and I the whole sex issue with a puppet show. It was off the wall hilarious.
Follow up to the 608 text. Where did the puppets go? Think about it.
That's hilarious. That is so funny. Well, you know what, though? At least it was addressed.
Right.
Yes. You know, I mean,
and if you can share the actual information with a little humor, that might take a little of the squeamish, embarrassing stuff out of it.
I think it all comes down to also how you raise your kids from the get-go, because I know parents who raise their kids to be funny, silly, honest, ask questions. I remember I was talking to a friend of mine, and she's got a little boy, and he was like 3, and he just was asking about his own genitalia, and she was very forthright. She's like, this is what you call it,
yep.
and you know, X, Y, and Z, and going forth and just having an open conversation with a 3-year-old. When you raise a child like that to be open and honest and unashamed of asking questions, then that sex talk is going to happen sooner and it's going to be way easier because it's just a conversation. There might be a little like, oh, mommy.
Right.
But it's not going to be a thing where you're like, all right, I gotta do this.
Yeah.
It's part of your normal open dialogue with the kid, which is possible to have. I know some parents or people are like, you shouldn't be that close to your kids. It's not being close to your kids. It's being
sharing information,
honest.
Right?
Well, because some parents are like, you shouldn't be friends. Like they can't see the difference between being a friend and
a parent.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm not a parent, so I have no real opinion on it. I think you can be friends with your kids, but
not at least until they're out of the house.
But you can get along with them where, like, when you're younger and you can hang out and you know, have a good time. But yeah, it's interesting to hear the different opinions of parents who are my age, by the way. Isn't like 60s versus 20s.
This is interesting.
Like people my age who some are like helicopter parents, which mean every bit of their life. Others are like, let them play in the dirt. Let them burn their hand. They're going to learn.
Go fall out of a tree.
Go play.
It's part of growing up. All right. Well, we are going to move on when we come back. John Dietrich is an investigative reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and just wrote a really good piece about the rise of gun deaths in Wisconsin. And the headline says, gun deaths are rising in Wisconsin. Suicide in rural areas are a big part of the picture. So he is going to join us coming up next. And we will talk about that incredible article that he did. This kind of goes along with our guest yesterday.
I was going to say, yep, it ties in perfectly.
With domestic violence.
Monique Mickens.
And, yes, Monique Mickens was here. And there's a lot going on. So stay with us. We will be right back. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and you're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic state lawmakers want to be ready in case Wisconsin's restrictive abortion law is struck down. Three bills would eliminate requirements like healthcare workers needing admitting privileges at nearby hospitals and exams before abortions. A lawsuit challenging Wisconsin's abortion ban is currently before a Dane County judge. She's indicated she's likely to strike the law down soon. People who take part in the World Naked Bike Ride are defending the event to state lawmakers who are considering shutting it down. That's after a 10-year-old girl took part this June and photos of her went up on social media. Madison authorities say no laws were broken. Organizers at a public hearing yesterday say the World Naked Bike Ride protests climate change and promotes body positivity. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Two dogs are dead after a Manitowoc house fire. The Manitowoc Fire Department responded to a call a little after 1 p.m. Tuesday afternoon to South 17th Street. All the people inside the house managed to get out. Two were taken to the hospital for treatment. Firefighters went into the house to look for the dogs and found they had died from smoke inhalation. Fire officials say the fire started in the kitchen, but there is more to investigate. They are reminding people to make sure they have working smoke detectors. A complaint has been filed against the Grand Chute Town Supervisor. The complaint against Beth English to the Wisconsin Ethics Commission was filed by former Town Supervisor Walt Nacido, the man who lost his seat on the board to English. Nacido alleges that Supervisor English used information discussed during a closed session of the board to make a deal with former board administrator Jim March so she would not be named in a federal lawsuit. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
The Raptors dominate the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee took on the Raptors last night in Toronto and ran into a buzzsaw. The final 130 to 111 in favor of Toronto. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin was an assistant coach for the Raptors. Before that, a longtime NBA player. Bucks point guard Damian Lillard says players appreciate that.
I think anytime you have a former player as a coach, you automatically are one with them. You know, they understand our day-to-day. They understand our lives. They understand, you know, what goes into this game.
The Bucks are now 2-2. They host the Knicks tomorrow night. NFL fallout from the Packers' decision to trade starting defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills in exchange for a third-round draft pick. I asked Matt LaFleur if Douglas had stepped out of line as a vocal leader in the locker room.
Now I want to shut that down right away. It has nothing to do. I think he's been a positive impact in that locker room. So absolutely not.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 43. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 35. Tonight, overcast. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers, 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 36.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. UK.
welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach, Carol King with me live in the studio and joining us now. So glad to have him with us. Investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, John Dietrich, is here. Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you all doing?
Really, really good. Well. What an excellent, excellent piece that you have about gun deaths in Wisconsin. The headline, Gun Deaths Are Rising in Wisconsin. Suicide in rural areas are a big part of the picture. I'm always impressed by the effort that goes into an investigative piece like this. How long does this take you, John?
Well, in this case, and thank you very much for the great intro and comments. This piece was, I did this through the Marquette O'Brien Fellowship for Public Service Journalism. This is an opportunity where journalists can take the better part of a year to really dig into this. And so I was at Marquette. I had some students that were working with me on this. And so I literally left the Journal Sentinel starting last summer at the beginning of the school year, and you know, had office over there in the support of Marquette. So yeah, we worked on this. There's various aspects of it, the reporting naturally, but also a big data collection effort, and that took a year to do.
Well, and I just want to impress, that's why journalism is so important, and that's why local journalism is crucial, because in order to really get at some of this stuff, you have to have the bodies to and give them the time
right.
to do this. And that doesn't happen for nothing. It doesn't.
Okay, so John, what's the baseline? Give us the brass tacks of exactly what's happening here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so I think the story sort of starts off with the question of, like, what do you think of when you think of gun deaths? And I've been covering, I've been a reporter at the Journal Sentinel for 20 years, and so I've written a lot of these stories. But, you know, what people's ideas usually goes to issues about homicide, and particularly city of Milwaukee homicides, which is important and are happening. I'm not trying to diminish those. This project seeks to elevate and reveal new categories and not suppress others. But homicide is one. Accidental shootings or negligent shootings or police shootings are another category. And taken together, those do not even come to a third of the gun deaths in Wisconsin. That's 71 out of 100 gun deaths every year are suicide. And while those circumstances are importantly different between a suicide and a homicide, it's important to consider them together. As Sarah Kolbeck from the Medical College said, while it's important to understand the differences, what this does is this opens up an idea that gun deaths are affecting everyone across our state in different ways. And when you adjust for population, Milwaukee is actually not the top county for per capita gun deaths in the state. And so just that fact was new. And I've covered this issue for a while, not that I know everything by any means, but it was new information. And as I'm hearing from readers, that's a new category for them as well.
John, what is the top county for gun deaths in Wisconsin?
It's Iron County and Rusk County. There's a series of small counties that are in the northern part of the state that the Native American population is large. The suicide rate is super high there. And, you know, I think it's really important when coming in, and I should have said this at the top, but in all the discussions I'm doing about this, I think it's really important that we know that if you're hearing this now and this is a category for you and you're concerned or you're feeling suicidal, dial 988. That's the phone number, the national phone number and here in the state to call and get help. It's really, really important to emphasize that as well. But yeah, it's those smaller counties that people might not think of in terms of gun deaths. And I've looked at the data from places like Iron County and Rust County and others. I mean, it's all suicide. And so what we were asking for was gun deaths from every county in the state. We got them from 71 of the 72 counties. And what we wanted to do was help people, you know, kind of give a snapshot while also protecting people's privacy.
Sure.
And not exploiting really terrible situations, but helping people kind of understand and pulling back a little bit the curtain on something that we don't traditionally write about suicide very often. And so that creates maybe an impression among some that it's not as frequent, and it is super frequent.
I got to be honest with you. I have a very dear friend. I live in Ozaukee County, and I have a very dear friend who was a cop, and he was telling me about Ozaukee County, and I was shocked at the number of suicides that he said that he got called to, and it was all gun. And I was just, you know, in little, you know, here I am, little Ozaukee County queen. And it was just unbelievable to me, the stories he was telling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, the Ozaukee County data did really, really jump off. And when you think about the lack of homicides in some of these areas, like I said, it really dominates. And again, you know, firearms, I should say at the outset, the majority of people that I talked to for this project were gun owners. So I think then we can talk a little bit more about kind of what I learned in those discussions. But what our efforts were and what we're calling the project is Behind the Gun. And that works on two levels. One is to see the data behind the gun. And more importantly, in my opinion, is to see the humanity behind the gun, to see the people who are victimized or have died, have suffered in this way, whether they be the person who actually was struck by a bullet or family members, and also gun owners themselves, who I learned were just a varied lot. And we can talk about that. But yes, it is it was surprising to me when I saw the data. Again, firearms are the most common means that result in a death and suicide. And it's not that gun owners themselves, there's no data to suggest that gun owners, by the fact that they own a gun, are more prone to mental health problems or crises. But it's that when those things come up, which they do come up for all of us to some degree, the means by which somebody might have to act on an impulsively very dark thought it's very deadly with a firearm because without getting into too many details around means, because that can be, problematic as well for our audience. But I would just say that firearms are the most lethal.
They're not
reversible.
John Diedrich is our guest. He's an investigative reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we're talking about his recent piece in the paper about gun deaths on the rise in Wisconsin, with suicide in rural areas a big part of the picture. And I just want to reiterate what you just said, John, about gun owners are not inherently more suicidal or more likely to have crises, but it is the immediacy of having that weapon there and its efficiency that is really more of the issue, right?
That's right. And when you look, it's the most common means, and it's also the most lethal means. 90% of people who attempt. It's really important too. One thing that I heard, just side note here, is that sometimes you hear this comment that if somebody wants to die by suicide, they will. And certainly there are cases where that has happened, but the data doesn't really support that. And let me just explain. If somebody attempts and does not die by suicide, of those 10 people, one will go on to die by suicide in a subsequent attempt. One. So 10%. However, if that first attempt is a means like firearms, it's unlikely there's going to be a second or a survival
and a second attempt.
So yeah, it's just important to know, and that's one of the things that people like Gene Papalia, who is a retired Madison cop, told me about, and Debbie Trader, who's in Wausau, and Sarah Kolbeck here at the Medical College. They all really felt important that that's one of the public service things that we could convey that means matter. And that conversation is happening among gun owners. That was a surprise to me, that I did not realize the communication among gun owners. There really isn't a gun community. That was one of the things I discovered. There's a lot of people who own this object who have very sort of different views.
Sure.
But within that group, they are very concerned about this. And there are new conversations that are happening, including at gun shows, including at different places, that one might be surprised where they want the issue. These people who sort of have bravely stepped forward in what I think is going to be a movement of talking about mental health among gun owners. And there's barriers to folks getting mental health all across the board. And it seems particularly acute among some gun owners that I talk to.
Well, and in the rural areas, there's just mental health deserts all over the place. Right. And that just makes it worse. And again, I want to reiterate, 988. 988 is the national number to call if you are having suicidal ideation or anything like that.
Okay, now we're seeing the numbers rise in Wisconsin, but it's a national issue, obviously. Did you do any case-by-case comparison of the states, of other states, as to what's happening in their areas?
Yeah, so I did look at the CDC numbers. And so what generally, okay, so 71% of our gun deaths are suicide in Wisconsin. That's running about 10 to 12 points over the national average. But again, the national average is really, I mean, it's a big number. You're blending together 50 states. Can be misleading. But it is trending higher here. We're not the highest. There are counties or states out west, like Utah, like Wyoming, like Colorado, where they have very, very low homicide rates and very high suicide rates. In fact, in Utah, the number in some years was up around 90%. They have almost no homicide, but the suicide numbers are really high. It was really interesting, the approach that was taken in Utah, them inviting in some public health people, a very conservative state, inviting in people from Harvard to help them kind of tackle this issue and think about some public health and public information campaigns that could be useful. Then there's other states where you're seeing much lower, but you're exactly right. The number of suicides are definitely climbing. And we see in Wisconsin, for the first time last year, more than 500 people died by gun suicide. The overall number of gun deaths has essentially doubled from 2004. That is driven partially by suicide, also partially by homicide. And I don't want to forget about accidents and police shootings, but just to keep in mind, those are like 1% and 2% of the total. Now, there's a reason why we in the media and the public in general notice those, because of the circumstances, and in case of accident could be just incredibly, especially tragic victims. But the drivers of the big numbers are suicides, and those are hitting disproportionately hard, especially white males over the age of 50.
John Diedrich is an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Recently has an excellent piece in the paper about the number of gun deaths in Wisconsin, and especially looking at the suicide aspect of that. If you have a question for John, you can text it in at 844-967-2789. Coming up next, John, I do want to ask you, and I thought it was so interesting when you mentioned as well that these discussions about suicide are coming up more at gun shows and among gun owners themselves, about some of the people that you spoke with who said they have taken the weapons of some of their friends for a period of time when they felt vulnerable.
Right, right.
And so we'll talk more about that. That's all coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and we're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Small businesses represent the lifeblood of every community. In Wisconsin, small businesses represent 99.4% of all businesses. Their importance to our economy, especially our rural livelihood, cannot be overstated. Entrepreneurs must be innovative and have a growth mindset in order to keep pace. Business owners and employees of small businesses can attend a free presentation by small business expert Fred Hochberg. Hochberg is former head of the Small Business Administration, the Export-Import Bank of the United States, and the Lillian Vernon Corporation. His presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, takes place on Wednesday, November 8th at the UW Green Bay Marinette Campus. Hochberg will share ideas for how rural businesses can thrive in today's marketplace. Funding for the presentation comes from the Tommy G. Thompson Center for Public Leadership. For more information on Fred Hochberg's November 8th presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, and to register for this free event, visit thompsoncenter.wisc.edu. That's thompsoncenter.wisc.edu.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You can be amazing. You can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug. You can be the outcast.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane, Greg Bach in studio with me, and joining us, an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, John Dietrich, is here talking about his article about the number of rising gun deaths in Wisconsin, and especially focusing on suicide in rural areas. And Greg, we had a guest in yesterday that also kind of ties into this whole discussion.
We had the executive director of End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin, Monique Minkins, and she was telling us that a new report that they just released was that there was 96 domestic violence, 96 murders attributed to domestic violence, half rural, half urban, but a majority of them by gun. And I was wondering if you could speak to anything about that with regard to your research and what you found as far as domestic violence and the use of guns.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Let me say at the front end, we happen to have a fantastic investigation dropping just today from Ashley Lutheran, who's a colleague of mine at the Journal Sentinel, about this issue. And it looks not only at the victims, the primary victims, but also the children that are affected, who have been, lost parents in this process. And Ashley has a really interesting new look at the way, the way that issue is playing out. She has written really importantly about domestic violence for years and years now. One thing that is, again, is really important to remember in, firearms, not only in suicides are the most lethal, but in homicides, and they're the most common weapon. And, I mean, it sort of makes sense because they are designed, as one person that I, interviewed, he said these were not designed to shoot cans or targets. They are used for that, and people use them for target shooting and so forth. But they were designed to kill people and animals. Animals and people, depending on which order you happen to be in, so forth. But that's what this instrument is. So they are very effective at doing what they do. So when impulsive situations come up that may be conflict, like a domestic violence situation, a firearm really elevates things. And that's why when somebody's talking about an intervention around suicide or around a possible homicidal situation, one of the first questions is always about, are there firearms in the home?
Right.
And does the person have access to them? Access is a really key thing, because if there is some distance that can come between the strong feeling, whether that be a homicidal feeling or a suicidal feeling, space and time is your friend in that case. And when you can create space and time, some of those thoughts can go down, and the impulsive thoughts can go down. It's that when the firearm is really accessible, easy to get to, and something is happening, that's when things that are horrifically tragic are happening.
If you or someone you know are having suicidal thoughts, you are in crisis. Even if you just have questions about, am I in crisis? 988 is the national number to call. reach out for help, talk to people. John, you said that over the course of your investigation, you found that among gun owners now there's more discussion about this, and even some who have taken their friends' guns when they felt they shouldn't, when the gun owner felt they should not be around their own weapons, right?
That's true. And there is a sort of phenomenon, if you will. I don't know if that's the right term, but it's something that happens among gun owners. It's fairly typical. And I was talking to a researcher from Harvard, Kathy Barber, and she had never heard about this until she did some work. And it was sort of interesting. I mean, she's like a non-gun owner, so she wouldn't necessarily know this. But among gun owners, it's fairly typical that gun owners will hold guns for friends and family in times of distress. Some estimates now are that 30% of gun owners report doing this. And we have some more coverage coming in this project, and we're looking at some of those questions. But like everybody I talk to, like every gun owner that I talk to knew about this.
Wow.
Like this happens regularly. And this is not government involvement. This is not a red flag thing. I mean, that's a different thing. And it's an important question. But this is grassroots, like somebody saying, hey, I need separation from this gun right now. And actually our first story in this project was in August. We published something on what's called the Gun Shop Project. And what that allows is a place where if somebody doesn't have a friend or family member that they could bring a gun to for temporary safekeeping during times of distress, that gun stores are opening up. There's 40 gun stores in Wisconsin. And again, this is a voluntary effort. This is not government involved and so forth. This is gun stores stepping up and saying, hey, we want to be that location. That's really important too. In a state, we don't have a universal background check,
right?
But in states that have universal background checks, you would have to, if I were to transfer to somebody else, or a gun owner would transfer to somebody else, they would have to do a background check. And so that's one of the hurdles that is being said. Like let me just be clear. This also, though, depends upon the person who's in the crisis to be of a mind enough to be able to do this,
right?
But that actually happens. And as Emmy Betts from Denver said, she's a researcher in this area. She said, we always have to start with the voluntary in mental health. It does not respect the patient's sovereignty and their decision-making to go to involuntary means. And our systems are set up to be rare, that we rarely take away people's freedoms, like, you know, like a temporary detention or something like that, that we're always trying to invite them into care. And that's what we're seeing right now in the gun, among gun owners that I talk to, is that, hey, let's come out and be more proactive. And I even saw that there was a gun show in Milwaukee in September, and there was a group that has formed to try to bridge this gap between gun owners and the mental health community, to say, hey, let's not be the tough guys or women. Let's start talking about mental health. And let's just talk about, you know, what's happening with the suicide issue, with this thing that we love. They love firearms, and they want to make sure that they are respecting them and being smart when times get difficult.
Thank you so much for joining us, John. It's a wonderful, wonderful article, and I highly encourage everyone to read it. We will put it in our show notes end of the show. And anytime you have anything else that you're working on and you want to join us, please just let me know. We would be delighted to have you back. Again, that number, 988, if you are having thoughts, if you are having a crisis, take advantage of it. And stay with us. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.